Later, at Trafalgar Square, he sat red-eyed with the pigeons, staring up at Lord Nelson until his neck hurt because he didn't know where else to look. London was coming to life now, the pace of feet and vehicles picking up. As the sun rose, the air warmed. After all that had happened, it was hard to believe that it was still summer. Gord, even Canada, seemed an eternity ago to him. He rose, looked around, debating where next to go, then stopped. Across the square, Reggie was staring back at him. He started to walk in the opposite direction, but something made him reverse his path and cross the space toward her. "How'd you know?"
"Lucky guess," she said. "And I called Frank. He told me you were back in London."
"How's Whit?"
"Leg stiff, but he'll be fine. I'm glad Katie will be okay, too."
Shaw absently nodded. Reggie wore the white jeans she'd had in Gord, black flats, and a blue cotton blouse. Her hair hung limp to her shoulders. She looked older, thought Shaw. Hell, they all looked older. He felt like he was 100.
"Tried to call you, but you didn't answer."
"I think my service was turned off," he said. He started walking, and she fell in beside him. He said, "Thanks for taking out Kuchin. It was a hell of a shot."
"I should have been faster. If I had, Katie..."
He moved slightly away from her. "Don't, Reggie. Just don't." She fell silent as they walked farther into the Strand. "Did they ever find Dominic's body?" he asked.
"No. And the worst part is his parents will never really know what happened to him."
"I'm sorry about that." She looked down, seeming to search for the right words. "Frank is talking to us about working with you." Shaw stopped and looked down coldly at her.
"With me?" "No, I meant with him, with his organization," she said hurriedly.
Shaw started walking again. "I don't see how that could be possible." She started speaking rapidly.
"We would have to change some of the ways we operate. I mean, we can't, well, finish the jobs like we used to. But he said the information network and research support we have could prove useful if we were to combine certain..."
Shaw held up a hand, indicating for her to stop. "I don't really care, okay?" She looked crushed by this and said,
"Sure. Okay. I can understand that."
They came to a park, and Shaw sat down on a bench. Reggie hesitated, seeming unsure whether he wanted her to join him or not. She finally just sat down, but kept a healthy space between them, which was difficult, since Shaw was so big. "I don't think I ever thanked you for saving my life."
"Shaw, you don't have to thank me. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you."
"I needed to say it."
"Fine, you said it. That's enough."
She crossed her legs, drew an exaggerated breath.
"It's none of my business, but..."
He cut her off. "Then drop it." A minute of silence passed. "We weren't more than friends," Shaw said, breaking the quiet. "Not yet, anyway. But we were friends. And she meant... she means a lot to me. More than I realized."
"Okay."
A tear slid down Reggie's cheek. "And whether we would ever be more than friends is something that..." He shook his head, stared over at a little boy with his mother, and then dropped his gaze to the grass.
"But Shaw, she's going to be okay. You can go and..."
"That won't be happening," he said firmly. Another few moments of silence passed.
"What are you going to do now?"
she asked. "Few days off wandering around here until Frank puts me back to work."
"You could come out to Harrisfield. In fact, I believe Frank is traveling there tomorrow to go over some things. And we could..."
She stopped talking when he abruptly stood. "No, Reggie. I really don't think we could." He turned to leave.
"Please, Shaw."
He looked over his shoulder at her.
I'm sorry.
But if we can just take it slow.
Tears were starting to cluster in her eyes, and this seemed to anger her. She brushed them away. He turned to face her, as she stood to do the same. I buried the one woman who meant more to me than anyone else, and I nearly lost another woman who I cared about deeply. He paused and drew a short breath. I'm not going to make it three. Take care of yourself, Reggie. She stared after him until even his tall figure disappeared into the growing crowds as London came to life. Reggie finally walked off in the opposite direction. She could not bring herself to look back. If she had glanced back, however, she would have seen Shaw stop and look back at her for a long moment. Then he slowly turned back around and kept walking.
This has been an Hachette audio production of Deliver Us From Evil, written by David Baldacci, read by Ron McClarty, produced and directed by Kevin Thompson, engineered by Andrew Thomas, edited by Luce Fleming, Nikki Banks, and Pete Pantelis. Mixed and mastered by Paul Goodrich, Merlin Music, New York City. Executive producer, Michelle McGonigal. Deliver Us From Evil is also available in print from Grand Central Publishing, a division of Hachette Book Group. Text copyright 2010 by Columbus Rose LTD. Audio production copyright 2010, Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. Except as permitted under the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, no part of this publication may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, or stored in a database or retrieval system without the written permission of the publisher. This audiobook is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are either the product of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, events or locales, is entirely coincidental.